Welcome to episode 55. Yes, that's right. You got it right. 55 of the First X Minutes podcast. I'm your host, Papi the Great. No one else. You find me on Twitter, Papi underscore the Great. That's at P-A-P-I underscore the Great. Topic of conversation for this podcast, of course, Manchester City. Done with the Manchester Derby. First leg, second leg, of course. Funny enough, the citizens won the first leg away from home and decided to lose the second one in front of the home fans. As if that was not enough, of course, Pep Guardiola got us talking once again. He would always get us talking with his tinkering and his tweaking and the formation and the sides layout and everything. This time he got us talking by fielding Cancelo, by fielding Kyle Walker, by fielding Nicolas Otamendi and Rodri as a back four in a system that worked, so to speak. If you're thinking of how they qualified for the EFL Cup final on the overall, yeah, it worked. But looking at the whole team again, yeah, you're forced to think, well, it's Manchester City struggled. Maybe their struggle was partially because of how Manchester United set up, which he spoke about in the press conference, and which he said was the reason why he tweaked his formation so that it could actually let his side appear a way that would be able to tackle Manchester United. However, some cracks still showed his Manchester City side. Maybe not the centurions they used to be. Maybe not the side that dominated England that they used to be. Manchester City on their way to yet another League Cup final, but there's plenty to be worked upon, and that's why the topic of this podcast is four things that are still fundamentally wrong with Manchester United, Manchester City. You can send me your comments on Twitter after listening to this podcast. And of course, let's talk football, not just Manchester City. If you're interested in featuring on this podcast, just send me a message on Twitter and we will get things going. Right, talking of getting things going, I think one of the number one things very, very fundamentally wrong with Manchester City is the terrible defense. I'm sure I must have set aside a better word. Oh my God, forgive me. A better word for this key point, but let's just use this one. Manchester City's defense, for all its worth in the whole wide world, yeah, they have Emerick Laporte, and that's it. And they have to struggle to keep teams at bay. They have to struggle to keep a clean sheet. They have to struggle during set pieces. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, yes, Emerick Laporte is just coming back from an injury layoff, and maybe he should not be rushed. But and coupled with the fact that Manchester United had lost the first leg by 3-1, they had every reason to just field a younger side, maybe not the most experienced side, judging by what had happened in the first leg. But Otamendi proved once again that there's plenty to be fixed in Manchester City's defense. And for all his worth, I think Cancelo should play more on the right rather than on the left. His forward burst looked beautiful, looked helpful, but at some point in time usually got stuck or stranded in the middle of the back, in the middle of the pack, and his backtracking was nothing to write home about. So I think that's one thing that's still fundamentally wrong about Manchester City. Pep is still obstinate. John Stones is not the defender. Nicolas Otamendi is not a defender. And it was obvious yesterday when Kevin De Bruyne complained about his tackle on a Manchester United player in the last minute, well, almost close to the last minute of the game. It was needless. I think it was really, really not necessary. And it almost cost Manchester City the game, because Manchester United awarded a free kick. Yeah, they were given a free kick and could have scored, made the game 2-0, 3-3 on aggregate. I could have dragged the game into extra time or penalties, as the case may be. So Manchester City still lagging behind defensively. They need to get a defensive player that will pair Aymeric Laporte, and of course get upgrades to the likes of Benjamin Mendy. Yeah, I said it. Secondly, the second thing that's fundamentally wrong with Manchester City has to be Pep Guardiola himself. It's like he's never satisfied. He always wants something different. He always wants something new. He always wants to try something different. And in a way, sometimes the players, their bodies can't take it, and they just want to reset to the old form of play, and it's a terrible fiasco to watch. Yesterday against Manchester United, they struggled with the high pressing. Manchester United's high pressing, they struggled really, really badly. The fullbacks were unable to bump forward. The fullbacks were also unable to contribute to play in the midfield because of the fast pace of the likes of Anthony Martial, who was useless in that game, by the way, and Mason Greenwood, which they were supposed to neutralize with the defenders. So in the midfield, to an extent, Manchester City got overrun in the middle of the park. The likes of Kevin De Bruyne were choked. Bernardo Silva was choked. Riyad Mahrez was left stranded up front. And of course, Sterling suffered against Aaron Wan-Bissaka. All thanks, let's be honest and let's be truthful to ourselves, to a certain man who decided that he will start Ilkay Gundogan and Rodrigo, as the case may be, in the same game. Pep Guardiola, sometimes he overdoes it. Trust me. Yeah, Mr. Ogunwide, my friend, will say, he's a manager. That's how it works. He likes to try new things. But sometimes, just give this thing a break and let your team just play football. Let them just go onto the pitch. Let them just do what they know how to do best. Don't over-tweak things. Don't over-tweak things. It's Guardiola is a master of that. He wants to each new game, new formation, and sometimes it's just a pain to watch, like things must have been for Manchester City fans yesterday. Thirdly, inconsistency. Oh my God. Manchester City, I think they're the most consistently inconsistent side in the Premier League, probably in Europe's top five this season. Why would I say that? It's just that you never know what version of Manchester City you're going to get. Is it the one that would have 20 shots on target and just score one? Is it the one that would dominate possession and not score goals? Is it the one that would score goals and the goals will be ruled off for being scored from an offside position? We never know what Manchester City team we're going to get. We never know what Bernardo Silva we're going to get. We never know what Riyad Mahrez are going to get. Yet, we're sure of the kind of a certain kind of Aguero and Raheem Sterling we're going to get, but you never know the version of Kyle Walker you're going to get these days, and you're never certain, at least to an extent, of the Ilkay Gundogan you're going to get these days for Manchester City. The inconsistency is crazy. It's unbelievable. They are consistently inconsistent. They have been consistently inconsistent, and I think if they're going to finish the season high against Aston Villa in the cup final, I think Manchester City, no offense to the villains, the Manchester City faithfuls can count or begin to count one trophy in the bag already. However, if they're going to get anywhere near the quarterfinal or the semi-final of the Champions League, they have to tighten their buckle. They have to do better, because the Champions League is way different from the League Cup, the FA Cup, or even the Premier League. And last but not least, the lack of a cutting edge. They are wasteful. Manchester City, well, they don't create chances, and maybe that's why they feel, yeah, we can afford to not have that cutting edge for all we care. The chances are going to come, and they're going to come again, and they're going to come again, and they're going to come again. But in football, sometimes you just have to get the chances. 2-3, go. Kill it. Kill those chances. Bury them. Manchester City against Manchester United yesterday in the EFL Cup semi-final, David Silva had a situation in the 18-yard box. It was just him against David De Gea. Shoot the ball into the net. He still afforded an extra touch. He made a sideway pass. He made a sideway pass in the 6-yard area. Instead of shooting the ball, he made a sideway pass in the 6-yard area. And of course, that opportunity went begging. Manchester City, they can be ruthless on their day, but most days, Manchester City player will choose to take the extra touch. They will choose to make an extra pass instead of taking the shot. They will choose to make an extra cross instead of being direct about play, instead of shooting towards goal and making a goal attempt. And I think while it is what sets them apart from the rest of the globe, especially from the rest in Europe's top five, it's also a characteristic that is revealing the crack in Manchester City's or Pep Guardiola's super team. Guardiola himself is one of the troubles of this squad. The inconsistencies is another thing that is fundamentally wrong with this squad. The defensive crisis is one of the things that is fundamentally wrong with this club. And of course, the lack of cutting edge, the lack of being able to finish off games as at Wendy, is the first thing that is fundamentally wrong with this Manchester City side. Are you a football fan? Are you a Manchester City fan? Do you think, hey, Papi the Great, you've not spoken about this fifth thing or the sixth thing or the seventh thing that is fundamentally wrong with Manchester City? I apologize. I could only come up with four. If you've come up with three more or four more or five more, even 10 more, send me a message on Twitter. Tweet at me at Papi_the_Great. I would love to hear from you at Papi_the_Great. Episode 5 of the First X Minutes podcast. I published a couple of names on my Twitter feed today. I will be featuring them on February. It's the lineup of February is crazy. It's filled with massive super fans who just want to talk about the game, in-depth analysis, banter here, there, and everywhere, and of course a little bit of English and probably some football talk in our local dialect. February is going to be fantastic. February is going to be fun. And last but not the least, February is going to be fire. By the time you hear episode 56 of the First X Minute, or let me say 57 of the First X Minute podcast, January will be finally gone. Thank God. And we'll be saying hello to an amazing month, my month, the month of February. From all of us at the First X Minutes podcast crew, whatever you will be doing this week, whatever you're planning to do this weekend, I hope it's peaceful, I hope it's profitable, and I hope you have a whole lot of fun. Bye for now.